This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's hour number two of Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got an absolutely tremendous hour for you guys. We're going to be joined in 30 minutes by Mike Meltzer. He does a tremendous job over at Mad Dog Radio Network here on Sirius XM. And additionally, I know that he's out there in the lovely city of Houston. Remember him from when I was doing an internship a decade ago over in Houston. So he's a guy that has very much been around the block out there in that area. Have to talk with him about what we're going to be able to get out of the Houston Rockets moving forward. If time allows, might ask a question or two about the Houston Texans, the team that I'm feeling bullish about, to be able to win their division out there in the AFC as well. So we're going to have some good fun there, and we certainly have ourselves a lot to be diving in on. As we just saw the finals go down with the OKC Thunder a little bit over an hour ago, being able to polish things away, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he wins finals MVP, so we have to flesh that out a little bit, and we do need to get you guys some bets for Monday, because we do have to trying to make you guys some money on this day as well, because unfortunately, not a lot of money to be made in the NBA moving forward, though. You do have the draft hits going on. If you bet someone not named Cooper Flagg to be the number one overall pick, I don't know what the logic is, but you do have money to be made on the NBA draft. You do have Summer League as well, which, if you're trying to handicap Summer League, that could be difficult to say the least, but always a lot of fun to be able to dive in on there. But we do have to take a look at what we're going to be getting here for the upcoming NBA season. And we do need to as well thank everyone behind the scenes that give just everything that they've got to making these shows as great as they are. You would not be seeing / hearing me right now without all the hard work of the folks behind the scenes that really are the backbone of VSiN. You've got our technical director, Jarens, and he's got the most difficult job here at the network. He needs to make me look halfway presentable in a moving picture / video format. If you're watching on YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, what have you, all the graphics that you see on the screen, all the numbers that you see in terms of the odds, what have you, he does a tremendous job there, so always do appreciate that. If you're listening on Sirius XM channel 158, you're listening just on terrestrial radio, wherever, Chris, he's making sure that everything sounds all nice, crisp, and clean. And if you're listening after the fact, because you can listen to every single hour of every single show on podcast form. If you go to VSiN.com/podcast or search for the VSiN Best Bets feed, wherever your podcast, that is always a great way to be able to tune in. Chris, he does an amazing job making sure that everything sounds crisp and clean. And then you've got my producers in Jared along with Johnny. They do such a great job of being able to set me up for success, making sure that I stay in line with a little bit of everything as well, which, and it's not easy to do, but and they do an amazing job. Big thanks to everyone behind the scenes. They're the best in the business, and the best in the business of the NBA is the OKC Thunder. They do indeed get the job done. They do indeed get the win over the Indiana Pacers. This by a count of 103-91, and it is yet another Game 7 that goes well under the total. Like, this thing was an under from the start. Really, the only time it was in question was when Tyrese Haliburton was on the floor, and that wasn't too long. Unfortunately for Tyrese Haliburton, he plays 7 rock-solid minutes. He makes 3 threes. He's getting cooking, and then he was out. He just absolutely tears his Achilles. Like, you could see from the replay, and that was just a grody replay to watch. It's like, yep, he's done. When you're just pounding the floor like that, you just knew it was bad. And, yeah, you just, that's one of those cases where you have to show a little bit of humanity and realize, man, this is just awful. You feel for the Indiana Pacers. What they're going to be in the futures market moving forward is a little bit TBD, because I'm right now seeing them at DraftKings at 18-1. And if you want to bet the Indiana Pacers at 18-1 to win the upcoming title, you be my guest. I will not be doing so, because you're most likely not going to be seeing Tyrese Haliburton for a full calendar year. And for the Indiana Pacers, if you're looking elsewhere, I was seeing over on another book them being at 43-1. Again, still relatively rough for them. If this is a sign of things to come for them, they're probably going to be leaning a lot on Ben Mathurin along TJ McConnell. Now, these two guys came out off the bench. They played admirably. I actually did take a shot on Ben Mathurin to go over his player prop, and he did do so. 24 points, 13 rebounds. So, felt relatively good about that W. And for McConnell, I was not expecting him to see the run that he was going to get. 16 points, but here's the most significant stat, in my opinion, for his, shall we say, output. 7 turnovers. And this is what was so costly for the Indiana Pacers. 21 blackjack turnovers for them. And That's just not going to cut it. Now, it did actually in game one. I still remember in game one, they did have north of 20 turnovers in that game, and still somehow, some way, they got the job done. You can't expect that to be the case all the time, though. Certainly in this case, when you're facing off against a good OKC Thunder team, that they only turned the ball over 7 times, so, I mean, that's a turnover differential of 14. That's going to lose you a lot of games. And for the OKC Thunder, they did a relatively solid job of holding it down on the glass. I like the fact that they utilized a little bit more Isaiah Hartenstein in this game on the boards. He was able to pull in their 9 boards, did a rock solid job for this team, and for the Thunder, they really didn't go to the bench too much. And that's always something that you want to note in these just deciding closeout games. You're just going to be looking to the guys that were really your stars and got you there. It's not like you need like 100 million billion guys in terms of depth or anything like that, because this is do or die. You're going to lay it all out there on the field, or on the field in this case on the court. And you just really didn't see those guys really being able to get a lot of run for the OKC Thunder. Like, I was thinking coming in that I was going to take a lot of unders on the likes of Aaron Wiggins. I didn't want it on Kasan Wallace just because his prop was just so low. But Kendrick Williams, Alex Caruso, did get burnt on the Alex Caruso one with him being able to put up 10 points. But was a solid look there. And for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, no shocker here, he wins finals MVP. And that's something that you always want to look at when you do have a demonstrative favorite like we saw with the OKC Thunder going into game number 7. Is there any way that you're able to reduce the juice? And when I was doing the show yesterday, it was about a minus 285 money line on the Thunder. It does get down to minus 265 because that line went from 7 when I was doing the show yesterday down to 6.5. But I mean, I was still seeing Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at a minus 205. If you wanted to bet the OKC Thunder on the money line, you might as well have just taken that minus 205. It would have taken Jalen Williams to give you about 45 points, 15 rebounds. He would have needed to sell hot dogs at the hot dog stand to be able to win the finals MVP award. Certainly did not happen. And for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, another nice night for him. Does not go over his player prop. He only has 29 points, but we are using air quotes here, only 29 points. He still had himself a very good performance there. So a congratulations to the OKC Thunder. And where the Pacers go for the 2025-26 season after, I mean, what was legitimately one of the more historic playoff runs that we've seen in quite some time. It is very rare that you see a team that's not a 1 or a 2 seed make this sort of run in the NBA playoffs. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed it. This Pacers team was so much fun. They had so many comebacks in them. And even when they were down 10 with like 3 to 4 minutes remaining, I was thinking, do they have one more historic comeback in them? Unfortunately, they did not, but they gave it their best effort, and you commend them for that, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Eubanks-Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and we always have to be taking a look at things are moving. Now that the NBA season is done, we certainly want to be taking a look at that with regards to Major League Baseball, and our betting splits here at VSiN, they come straight from the source. You're able to get them from both Circa and DraftKings, and that lets you know where the sharp money is moving, because Circa, they are known for taking big bets from professional bettors, while DraftKings, it provides a little bit more of a broad market perspective. That means that you're getting real action, not just public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. See the percentage of bets versus the percentage of handle on every single game across every major sport. This helps you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN's exclusive betting splits for as little as $9.99 for your first month over at VSiN.com. That is VSIN.com/subscribe to be able to get in on the betting splits for your first month as low as $9.99. As it is cashing out with myself, Greg Eubanks-Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, and lost in the sauce with what we saw in terms of the NBA Finals, and I mean, it was a historic NBA Finals. There were other sporting events that did happen on Sunday, and a congratulations, by the way, to LSU, and for anyone that was listening to the show yesterday with myself being joined by Johnny Venezia, I believe that was in hour number 2, he was calling for the under in this game, and LSU was able to hold that 8.5 under, as for LSU, they do go out there, they get the job done 5-3, and we are really just starting to see a little bit of a power being formed here in college baseball. We all remember what Paul Skeens was able to do for LSU, and Alex Ianson, he was able to go out there, did give up 2 home runs, but 9 rock solid punch outs for him. For this LSU Tigers team, just a historic run for them, because they were on the brink of losing to Arkansas when it came to that semifinal matchup to be able to set up this College World Series with Coastal Carolina, and they were going against a Coastal Carolina team that they were on a 26-game winning streak before the College World Series, might have been 27, but they were really rocking and rolling. They had found a bit of everything, and for Coastal Carolina, you give them so much credit where it's due. Typically, you just don't see in any sport a Sun Belt team be able to make the run that they did, but I mean, this was done very, very early on for LSU. They put up that four spot in the fourth inning, and you knew from there this game was probably going to be not going the way of Coastal Carolina, and credit to you if you had the under as well, because, man, that was looking like it was on the fritz after you had the four runs in the fourth inning, and you always do want to be gauging that in terms of just baseball in any form. Sometimes you get some just demonstrative starts in general. I can tell you right now, just in Major League Baseball this year, I can't count how many times I've had a game where it's like, oh, this is going to be an over. We've got seven runs in the first four innings. I've got a total of 8.5. I'm feeling great. Oh, we got one run the rest of the game because I bet on a game with the Giants bullpen, who's currently number one in the big leagues in terms of bullpen area. By the way, they've been very rock solid with that regard, and we see a lot of that. And then you see vice versa. These teams with really bad bullpens, like looking at you, the Washington Nationals, when you have Mackenzie Gore go out there, give you six innings, gives up one run, and then the schlubs from the bullpen come in. And you just never know when those games are going to be going into the abyss, and or in this case, when a pitcher is able to settle down. You were able to see Coastal Carolina be able to hold down the fort after that relatively rough fourth inning, and they went to their bullpen. They had a lot of guys that were able to keep them relatively close, just unable to bust through. But we do have to be talking a lot more about the baseball front, as we do now have a whole bunch of Major League Baseball. We've got nine games in total that are going to be going down on Monday. We've already talked about a few, but how about if we look at a team that's coming off of Sunday Night Baseball and looking to get the job done on Monday? That's coming up on the flip side here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight, as I mean, it's been such a fun day in sports. We had two titles that were given out. We did have all 30 teams in Major League Baseball play, and if you missed out on Sunday Night Baseball, you missed out on the Philadelphia Phillies romping the New York Mets, who are now 1-8 in their last nine games. It's been a little bit less than savory for them. I was thinking that Ace Luis Lizardo was due in for a little bit of positivity. He certainly was, and David Peterson, great name, not necessarily a great performance. We still love our favorite, we still love our fellow Peterson, but you know what? Did not necessarily cut it there, but did enough for me to be able to get my under in that game. So we credit Mr. Peterson for that regard. And now there will not be a Peterson on the mound for the New York Mets on Monday, but they're going to be in the old Sunday Night Baseball spot where you play on Sunday Night Baseball and then you have to travel on Monday. Typically not a fruitful spot for the teams that have to travel on Monday, so let's dive in to see if there's any value here, as it's 9-0-1, 9-0-2 on the card. And for the Mets, they are just traveling back home in this case, as it's Bob Blackburn walking the plank for the Mets, and Spencer Schwellenbach goes for the Atlanta Braves, with the Braves spreading that neighborhood about minus 122 to a minus 125 favorite, about plus 110, plus 105, even as good as plus 112 on the Mets. Tonight's game is 8.5, and I just have no faith in your here in Paul Blackburn whatsoever. For Paul Blackburn, rocking a 6.92 ERA this far this season. He's made two starts. He's made two long relief appearances. And this guy just has never really been that good. Like, I wish I could call it anything else. He had some success when he was with the Oakland A's for a little bit, pitching at home. He had demonstrative home and road splits for like 1 year, but a career 4.91 ERA, with many of his starts coming in Oakland, which was a very pitcher-friendly ballpark back in the day. Not a strikeout artist. 6.9 very nice strikeouts per nine innings. Not a lot to be jazzed about here. And for Spencer Schwellenbach, it's been a little bit rough. Three plus runs allowed in three out of his last five starts, but overall, he's sub-3.35 ERA. He's doing a good job of not beating himself, giving up about 1.1 to 1.2 home runs per nine innings, fewer than two walks per nine innings, and he's backed up by an Atlanta Braves lineup that overall for the season has been average to below average in terms of run creation. But how about what Ronald Acuna Jr. is now bringing to the table? He's been able to do a nice job being able to give you north of 450 on base. He's been able to slug out eight home runs in less than 30 games, so you have to love what you're seeing there. Matt Olson is out giving you 15 plus homers. He's up to about a 350 on base, and Marcell Ozuna doing a good job moving the line. The sore spots for this team have really been Michael Harris, along with Ozzie Albies, hitting for a 235 or lower, but Drake Baldwin has been a really nice find. Guy from the great state of Wisconsin, he's been able to do a nice job of moving the line. And for the Mets, this is still a rock-solid offense. Quartet of guys with at least 13 home runs. Brandon Nimmo, Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso. These guys have been really good for the team. And then, obviously, Juan Soto has been able to pick it up as well. North of a 380 on base for him thus far this season. Still have a few guys like Tyrone Taylor and company that you could use a little bit more from. But overall, they've been able to do a pretty rock-solid job being able to hold it down and being able to give you some relatively good production. And for this New York Mets team, the one saving grace that they are going to be able to have in this game is their bullpen. As for the Mets, this has been one of the more dominant bullpens in all of baseball. And because they were down quite a few runs against the Philadelphia Phillies, it's not like they had to use up a lot of their high leverage guys or anything like that as well. This is a Mets unit that entered into Sunday Night Baseball number 7 in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. Oscar Brazoben has been able to give you a sub-2 ERA. Reed Garrett has been rock solid. And then Edwin Diaz is starting to look like the Edwin Diaz of old, but for the Braves, they do seem to be finding their footing a little bit more in terms of this bullpen. I recognize that for the Braves, it hasn't been tremendous, but you know what? You've had Aaron Bummer not live up to his name. He and Dylan Lee have been able to give you a sub-3.5 ERA. Rossy Iglesias has been terrible. Like, I'm not going to lie. I've always thought that he's one of the better relievers in all of baseball, and that has not been the case this far this season, to say the least. But I do think that Schwalbach goes out there, gets the job done for the Atlanta Braves, so I'm going to be willing to back them on the money line. Wouldn't want to go much past minus 125. It's still a road spot for the Atlanta Braves, but do like that money line. Also set my total at an 8.6, so here at the 8.5, I'm going to be willing to dive in on the over, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now, we really don't have any openers up with regards to this Washington Nationals versus San Diego Padres game. I have to think that we are going to be getting Stephen Kolek here for the Padres. That's right now where all the places are projecting that it's going to be, but flat out don't have any openers. If you do end up getting a number on this game, I'd be willing to lay up to about a minus 115 on that run line of San Diego. And then I set my total to where an 8 or less. I like the over 8.5 or higher to the under, but sometimes it's just a fickle fiend when you don't know who the starters are going to be. But do know that Mitchell Parker is going to be going for the Washington Nationals, and he's been not great over the last 2 months. So that's something to be taking a look at. And you want to talk about some starters that have been not great, to say the least. How about if we go on over to the city of Los Angeles? This is 9-13-9-14 on the card. The Boston Red Sox are on the road against the LA Angels. Jack Kochanowicz is on the bump for the Angels, and Walker Buehler goes for the Boston Red Sox. By the way, you want to know something very interesting? Other than the Sacramento A's and the Chicago White Sox, we'll throw it in there, the Baltimore Orioles as well, all but those three teams within 3 games of that final wild card spot, even the Angels here. So, I mean, big games here. You've got the Boston Red Sox right around about minus 118 to minus 125 favorites, and between plus 105 to plus 110 is that number on the Angels, and total on this game is 9. This total is just too low. Jack Kochanowicz is terrible. He's giving in north of 4 walks per 9 innings. He's giving up north of 1.5 home runs per 9 innings. And he's backed up by a bullpen that I'm going to give a little bit of credit here to the LA Angels, because it was absolutely terrible to begin the season. Now it's just bad. So you went from absolutely dreadful to bad. Congratulations, LA Angels bullpen. They did have to use up Hunter Strickland, though, on Sunday. They had to have a cavalcade of different guys coming out of the bullpen. And other than Strickland, guys that have thrown north of 9 innings in the bullpen for the team, all north of 4 ERA. I recognize he's been better, but Reed Detmers, Ryan Zephyrian, Brock and Roll Burke, throw in there whoever you want here. I mean, all these guys have been relatively brutal, and it's not like there's like some sort of a marked improvement. Over the last 30 days, the LA Angels have went from really being bad with their bullpen to 5-1-3 in terms of their ERA. And for the Boston Red Sox, this has actually been a relatively solid bullpen. Like, Aroldis Chapman has been an ageless wonder for this team. He's still getting north of 11 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's still rocking a sub-2 ERA. Now, Brandon Bernardino has went down the toilet bowl for the team a little bit, but Garrett Whitlock has been able to do a nice job. He's been a nice long reliever, giving you a sub-3 ERA. You've been able to get some good mix and match innings out of likes of Greg Weisert and company, and certainly for the Boston Red Sox, not having Rafael Devers out there, it's not going to be helping out the lineup. But I mean, with the way that Kochanowicz has given up the deep ball, Yeah, I do think that you're going to be able to get a little bit of power here. Wilder Abreu has been wiling out double-figure amount of farmers. Now, Jaron Duran has been a little bit hot and cold for the team, but you've got some of these mix-and-match guys like a Rami Gonzalez, Rob Revsider. These guys are able to hit a 280 or greater. Zidane Rafaela has been able to give you a little bit more as well. And for the LA Angels, what I find to be so, so interesting about this team, they are all or nothing. And by that, I mean they're either hitting a home run or they are not moving the line and they are not getting on base whatsoever. As you take a look at this bunch, currently a bottom three team in the big leagues in terms of on base percentage, but number two in the big leagues in terms of home runs on a per at-bat basis. Like you've got Taylor Ward, for example, 19 home runs, hovering right around a 271 on base. Logan Ohapi, oh, we're very happy that he's been able to give you a double-figure amount of homers, not so happy that he's giving you a 270 on base. Joe Adell, setting fire to the rain as he's been able to give you 15-plus home runs. He's also setting fire to his batting average at less than a 230, so got a lot of guys. Even Mike Trout. Like, Mike Trout is hitting below a 240 this season, so, I mean, it's just been contagious for this LA Angels team. For Walker Buehler, man, this is not the guy that we all know and love. He's posting up a 5.95 ERA. He himself is giving up 1.8 home runs for 9 innings. The swing and miss stuff has not really been back. And I thought your number two coming off of major surgery that this was going to be a little bit of a breakthrough for him. Because back half of the season with the LA Dodgers, I mean, it was a less than savory regular season, but during the postseason, you started to see a little bit more out of him. You figured, okay, now we're able to get a little bit more out of Walker Buehler this year. It's just not really been the case, but even with that, I still have to default to the Boston Red Sox here. They've got the much better bullpen. They've got the much more consistent team in terms of moving line, and I just want no part of Jack Kochanowicz whatsoever. Like, I set the Red Sox as north of a minus 140 favorite. Recognize that they have to go from east to west. That's a little bit less than tremendous, so they've already been playing some series out west out here because they played in the Rafael Devers Bowl in the previous series, so travel isn't quite as bad. Still a little bit of body clock game for you, but you know what? Being able to get the number that I'm getting right now on the Red Sox, hovering right in the neighborhood by minus 120, I'm willing to dive in on that money line. And right now, that total of 9, just not high enough. Even if the sign went up to a 9.5, I'd be looking at the over to go along with that money line. So we do have ourselves a lot of fun there. Right now, a lot of places are still just starting to post up that number in terms of Brewers versus Pirates. If you miss that, I do like the under in that spot because the Pirates dead last in the big leagues in terms of runs per game. They're most likely going to be going with a little bit more of a bullpen game. So even money or better would be looking at the Brewers on the money line there. Coming up next, though, we have to dive in on a little bit more basketball because even though we saw finals game number 7 happen in the NBA, there was more news. Kevin Durant, he's heading to Houston. We head to Houston to talk to Mike Meltzer about that on the flip side here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out. I'm VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line as we've got Mike Meltzer aboard. He does a great job hosting over at Mad Dog Radio. He's based out there in Houston. Ironically enough, he's coming at us from the lovely city of Denver, but he does a great job holding it down in the city of Houston and so much more. And Mike, it's great to get you aboard tonight. Thank you so much.
Greg, happy to be on with you. How are you?
I'm doing tremendous. And Mike, another team that is doing absolutely tremendous, well, that would be the OKC Thunder. They win finals game number 7. They get the win. They get the cover. And just what did you make out of the OKC Thunder this season? A bunch that during the regular season it was so dominant. Up until the finals, really, it was dominant. But they do get pushed to 7 games here by the Pacers. And who knows what happens if Tyrese Halliburton doesn't get injured.
Here's what I would say, Greg. The best team from the regular season into the postseason won the NBA championship. They won 16 games. They had a historic point differential, as you know. They had a really good point differential in the playoffs with a little bit the game tonight in game 7. I would say because they weren't completely dominant in the postseason run, and the Halliburton thing leaves kind of a giant what if. What if he hadn't gotten hurt in whatever it was, the early part of the second quarter, late first quarter, whenever it was, you know, given how he started, what would have happened in game 7 had Tyrese Halliburton, you know, stayed healthy? We will never ever know the answer. But all Oklahoma City did, they're not the same. Obviously, it's a while for them to come.
We're going to reconnect with Mike in just a second. We were getting a little bit of fuzziness there, but absolutely, I was picking up what he was putting down and the fact that you do have the team that was the best during the regular season, certainly being able to excel in the postseason, certainly a few hairy moments. And even if you go back to that series against the Memphis Grizzlies, there were a few hairy moments for the OKC Thunder, but certainly they find a way to be able to persevere. Go back to what we were talking about with Zachary Cohen as well. I know that he was talking about this being a bunch that won't suffer the same fate as we saw with the Denver Nuggets a few years ago when they were able to make their finals run and they were able to get the job done, because they're going to have a lot of pieces that are going to be together. And Mike was just leaving off by talking about this as well. Transitioning now from what we saw in the finals tonight to what we're going to be getting next year, how do you take a look at the OKC Thunder, who I think that to put any team not named the OKC Thunder as a favorite would be foolish, but I think that's just interesting to see how they go from what they did this year into next year.
Well, here's the thing, Greg, and I apologize for my shaky reception earlier. Hopefully it's
good.
A lot better now. Terrific. This is the thing, Greg. They're going to be better next season, and they're going to be possibly better the year after that. Like, this is the first, maybe the second kind of iteration of this team. Like, you think about how quick this rebuild is. I think people sometimes forget. They think it's like, oh, there was this giant rebuild from KD to Russ to this. Like, no. This team made the playoffs in 2020 in the bubble and took the Rockets to 7. They had 2 down years. And now they just won the title. Like, that's how quick this thing actually was. This wasn't like an 8-year giant rebuild. SGA's 27. Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren are on their rookie contracts. We all know about some of the assets that they have, which at the very least are going to give them flexibility to where if they run into like apron stuff, they have to move off one or two players. They can draft guys or trade for guys to replace those. So what I was thinking, Greg, win or lose tonight in game 7, what I knew was Oklahoma City is only going to be better next season and the year after that. This is going to be the worst version of them that we've seen, and that worst version won the NBA title tonight.
And their worst version also won 68 games during the regular season as well. So,
yep.
I mean, complete and utter domination there is Mike Meltzer. He does a tremendous job over at Mad Dog Radio, joining me right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And how about if we take a look at the team from your neck of the woods, though? Because if you look at the betting odds right now, the OKC Thunder demonstrative favorites to be able to win the title. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, between plus 220 to plus 240. But that number 2 team from the West is now the Houston Rockets. A lot of places right around about plus 750 because they pick up Kevin Durant from the Phoenix Suns on Sunday. They trade away Jalen Green. They trade away Dylan Brooks and a few picks that they probably weren't going to do a whole heck of a lot with. And I want to get your thoughts on this Rockets team, because I really love the way that they play defense this year. I really love the young guys, Ime Udoka. And this feels like a sort of all-in move, just trying to be able to cash in on what they've got right now.
I really like the Kevin Durant trade. Would I think the Rockets win the NBA title next season? Well, probably not, based on what I just told you about Oklahoma City. That's more of a commentary that's positive to OKC, the negative on Houston. I really like the deal because it is a very ideal fit, Greg. Think about the Rockets team we saw this season. One of the 3 or 4 best defensive teams in the league. They were the 2 seed. Ime Udoka is a really good coach, but they were missing offense. They don't have a lot of juice. You know, their best offensive players are Alperen Şengün and Fred VanVleet. That's asking a lot when you go into the Western Conference playoffs to win even a round or two. We saw the Golden State series. The Rockets couldn't score enough points. They didn't have enough shooting and scoring on the floor. Who is a better shooter and scorer than Kevin Durant, like, historically? And I understand he's 37, but Greg, this is a guy who on, you know, 26 points a game last season, shot 52% from the floor, or 53%, and 42% from three. Those numbers for the Rockets lineups are manna from heaven. And the best part is next season, they don't need to rely on him for 82 games or 75 games. I don't think KD should play a single back-to-back next season. That's what the young guys are for. But in the playoffs, when they roll around next season and when the Rockets can close with Kevin Durant instead of, you know, Jalen Green and Fred VanVleet, I think that's a significant upgrade. And the cost to do it was, I thought, not very high.
I agree with you. I thought that this was absolutely tremendous for the Rockets. And if we're looking on the flip side for the Suns, I'm just completely befuddled by, for one, why that Brian Gregory is the general manager of this team. Couldn't cut it itself. Fair. Florida's the head coach there. And then I recognize that Jalen Green's a really good player, but to not recoup the first-round picks that this team gave up years ago to be able to get this roster, this to me was just head-scratching and feels like the Suns are going nowhere fast and are full of a bunch of guards and nothing else.
So here's my take on it, Greg. You bring up an excellent point that the Rockets own two incredibly valuable picks, or picks that we think will be really valuable. I think some of the most valuable assets in the league, the Phoenix Suns 2027 and 2029 first-round picks. Here's the thing, though, in the defense of Phoenix and, you know, Brian Gregory, Ishbia, whoever's running things out in the desert, they were never going to get those picks, not for Kevin Durant. I think the Rockets would trade those picks for Giannis, you know, maybe Jaylen Brown, maybe not necessarily now, but you get the idea. Like, they were going to hold those picks in reserve for really elite assets, which KD is not at this age with the new contract coming up. Jaylen Green, I am not. Greg, I'm not a big Jaylen Green guy. Jaylen Green, to me, is way more, I don't know, Monte Ellis, Jordan Clarkson, than he is like a Devin Booker type. You know, one of the things I heard today is like, well, you know, a lottery team, you know, I don't know about gave up on SGA, but traded SGA. A lottery team, you know, or a team that took a guy in the lottery, traded Tyrese Halliburton. Jaylen Green's not those guys. If you actually watch the games, not you specifically, you the general, and I question sometimes when people talk about Jaylen Green, as someone who watches him, I think to myself, are people actually watching this guy play basketball the way they're talking about him? And I'm not trying to be too negative. He can score a lot of points, but I'll put it this way. If Jaylen Green is your leading scorer, then what I know is you're probably not a very good basketball team. I think in a perfect world, if he's like your fourth or fifth best player and he's the microwave off the bench, I think then you can have a really good basketball team. If I was in Phoenix, what I'd be more disappointed by is I couldn't get Jabari Smith. I couldn't get Cam Whitmore. And I don't know what kind of asset Cam Whitmore is really going to be, but if you're Phoenix and you're staring down the barrel of all these restrictions, you used up every asset. Like, every Cam Whitmore that you can get is hugely valuable to you. So for them not to get a Jabari, a Reed Shepard, a Cam Whitmore, like, any of those would be, to me, a little disappointing.
Yeah, this was just not a great return for the Phoenix Suns. I felt like they needed to get actually quite a bit more, and they did not. So we are in lockstep there, viewed a little bit differently, but certainly you needed to get more if you were the Suns. And we have about a minute remaining. How do you take a look at things out east? Because we certainly talked about the West with the Rockets and the OKC Thunder, but I feel like the game-changing injury to what we saw out of Tyrese Halliburton, that's massive. Yep. And for this Eastern Conference in general, I just think that it's going to be an interesting landscape this upcoming season.
I'll tell you, if I had to like bet like, you know, some small amount of money, like 15 or 20 bucks tonight, I might bet it on Orlando just kind of as a long shot, because I know we're up against it, but you add Desmond Bain, who a la KD to the Rockets, like, okay, they gave up a lot for him. He's the perfect fit for what they do. Now we see with Halliburton for next season what that's going to be like. We already know about Jason Tatum. What does Cleveland do? So I think it's going to be pretty wide open in the Eastern Conference, and I think there's probably some betting value on some long shots in the East based on what we saw tonight.
Yep, I'm right there with you, and we saw it throughout the entirety of the postseason, the tremendous run that the Indiana Pacers were able to have. So I do think that things are open out there. What happens with Giannis if he stays out east as well? So we've got a lot of fun to be able to dive in on for the upcoming season. And Mike, you do such a great job on the radio yourself. Always do appreciate it. Thank you.
Greg, thank you so much. Have a great night.
It was great to be joined by Mike Meltzer. He does great work over at Mad Dog Radio. And coming up next, let's take a look at some Monday baseball and cashing out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It was great to be joined by Mike Meltzer in the last segment, talking a little bit about what we're going to be seeing moving forward out of the Houston Rockets, what we've got in the landscape of the West for this upcoming NBA season as the OKC Thunder, they get the job done. And we were talking about with Mike, this could be a team that really builds something moving forward. They've got a lot of assets, and they've got a lot of talented guys on very, very friendly contracts. So big thanks to Mike for joining me in the last segment. What else is very friendly to us is baseball, because The dog days of summer are here. We're going to be looking at a lot of NFL futures moving forward. We're going to be talking a lot of baseball. We're going to get some hot dog eating competitions. Hey, we've got the CONCACAF Gold Cup that's happening right now. So, yep, we are really going to be holding it down with the baseball front. Fortunately, it's one of my favorite sports. So, how about if we do dive in on a classic Midwest rivalry? This is 905, 906 on the board as you've got Cubs versus Cardinals. The home-standing Cardinals are throwing out their Matthew Liberatore. And you've got Ben Brown, who goes for the Chicago Cubs. Right now, this total is 9, shaded down to the under. And when it comes to the Cardinals, I'm finding them in a relatively pick-em game. Both of these teams hovering in that neighborhood of right around about a minus 110 or so, even with the Cubs as good as about a minus 102. But I'm going to be willing to dive in on the St. Louis Cardinals money line. For Matthew Liberatore, I believe that he's doing for a lot of positivity. Even though he's got an ERA that is hovering right around about a 4, a little bit above that, 304 field independent. And he's done a nice job in terms of not giving up a lot of walks, fewer than 1.5 walks per 9 innings, 0.9 home runs per 9. He's doing all the little things that you need to see from a pitcher to be able to really improve, and he's not necessarily a strikeout artist, but I think that for the Chicago Cubs, it's going to be a little bit jarring going from what they experienced this weekend down to St. Louis, because if you looked at the series out there in Chicago, I hope that you bet the overs. My goodness. It was hot out there, the wind was blowing out, and it just turned into what you typically see in the PCL, where you got like the juice ball league with a whole bunch of places at elevation and a whole bunch of heat. Like, that was a hitter's paradise out there at Wrigley Field. And now for St. Louis, it's still a little bit warm out there in the Midwest part of the country, but it's not going to be what Wrigley Field was, that's for darn sure. And for the Cubs, you've got a lot of power on this team with Peaker Armstrong supplying north of 20 home runs. He has been one of the best players in the league this year. And then you throw in there Kyle Tucker, give you north of 375 on base, double-figure amount of bombs. Heck, now you've got 6 guys with 10-plus home runs with Ian Happ being able to get there. Michael Busch, Say Suzuki, and these are not solo shots because you've got someone like a Nico Horner who's able to move line. So this has been a really rock-solid lineup. But again, I think that Liberatore is in for a really good start here for the Cardinals. I do think that they're going to round into form in terms of their bullpen as well. It's been shaky what we've seen out of Ryan Helsley this year with 5 blown saves, but I mean, Phil Matone, Kyle Leahy, Jojo Romero, these have been guys that have been able to give you a sub-3.5 ERA for the Cubs. If you look ever since May 1st, this was going into the day on Sunday, and certainly Sunday hurt those ERA numbers, but I mean, they were number one in the big leagues with regards to that bullpen ERA, and you've got a lot of guys that have just really been, shall we say, surprises for this team. Daniel Palencia, Caleb Theobar, Drew Pomerantz, a whole bunch of guys give you a sub-3 ERA that you just frankly wouldn't expect it from. Now, with what you're able to get out of Ben Brown, rocking a nice hearty 5.56 ERA, should be doing for a lot of positivity, though. Field independent is darn near 2 points lower than that. You've been able to have him go out there, give you a lot of strikeouts, north of 10.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. The walks per 9 rate is a bit concerning, above a 3, but he's only giving up about 1 home run per 9 innings. And this is a Cardinals team that they just flat out don't really mash. You've had Wilson Contreras, Nolan Arenado, both give you 10 home runs. Lars Nootbaar, great name. He's been able to give you a few bombs, but now he's hitting below a 230. And the Avon Herrera injury is certainly something that you want to be taking note of as well. It feels like the St. Louis Cardinals were really relying upon him at the catcher spot. Now you've got Johan Pozo along with Mr. Pedro Pajes holding it down at the catcher spot. Just not quite the same guys. And for this Cardinals team, I was mentioning Arenado and Wilson Contreras, them being the main home run hitters, just not the same guys that they were back in the day as well. But still, I do think that you're going to be able to get a good start out of Liberatore here. I think that's going to be a little bit jarring for the Cubs going from that very friendly run environment down to St. Louis. So I did set my money line price set at minus 122. I do like the money line of the Cardinals. And with regards to the total, I'm in on the under. I set my total at an 8.3. Something else that you want is a little bit of something different. I mentioned it. We are now in the dog days of summer. That's relatively rough. And how about if you bet on some ponies? Why not try the races? First Bet is letting you wager on hundreds of different horse races every single day from all the top tracks out there in the United States and around the world. Sign up over at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. And utilize the promo code of VSIN200. That is VSIN200. That'll claim you a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. That's over at firstbet.com. As it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. And we just hit upon a National League game. Right now, we don't have a ton of National League games out there. We'll have a few more American League games to hit in the final hour, but how about if we just take a look in general at what I was talking about a bit earlier in the hour? That's the fact that this American League playoff race, I mean, you want to talk about jumbled up. You want to talk about anyone's race other than you, the Chicago White Sox and the Athletics. I'm sorry about that, but I mean, this wild card race in the American League is so interesting, and the way that you want to gauge this, if you're a little bit more of a futures player, and truth be told, I'm much more of a game-to-game guy. Like, I do not dive in on a lot of futures, but if you're looking to be able to make some plus money, it's anticipating what you're going to be able to get moving forward out of some of these teams, looking at a little bit more of some of these schedule projections and taking a look at these teams that they might have a little bit of an easy run of things. Now, these teams should be able to knock off the Colorado Rockies. If you can't knock off the Colorado Rockies, you're probably not destined for the postseason. Sorry, Miami Marlins. Sorry, Washington Nationals. But you just take a look at this entire playoff picture. There are three teams that are more than 2.5 games out of that final wild card. Orioles, Athletics, White Sox. Even the LA Angels, the Minnesota Twins, the Texas Rangers all have hope. And you have to gauge, all right, which of these teams is going to be perhaps buyers? Which of these teams are going to be sellers? Because we've already seen it in the past, and it's not even the distant past. Like in 2021, the Atlanta Braves were 500 at the trade deadline. And don't look now, but that trade deadline, it is starting to creep up and creep up. We're about 5 weeks away from it. So these next 25 to 30 games that these teams are going to be playing, absolutely paramount. And like a team like the Texas Rangers, I believe that they could be buyers. Like if the Texas Rangers do anything whatsoever, if they can hold afloat, you have to think that they buy a bat. Like the offense for this team has been a horrible. Like Jake Berger has not panned out. Jock Peterson is currently on the injured list, and when he hasn't been, he's been about as useful as a poopy flavored lollipop. I mean, you've gotten nothing out of this entire lineup. Corey Seager. Like, Corey Seager goes down with an injury. He comes off the injury list, and I don't know if Corey Seager is abducted, and they replace him with someone not named Corey Seager, trying to pretend to be Corey Seager, but that's not Corey Seager right now. So, that's not great, to say the least. But somehow, some way, their pitching is helping them stay aboard. Like, two-thirds of their games are going under the total right now, and it's not just the starting pitching. The bullpen has been in the top eight with regards to their ERA as well, so these guys have been able to do a pretty rock-solid job. The Boston Red Sox, who just traded away Rafael Devers half a game out of the final wild card spot, which I find to be hilarious. Like, they actually have not done a bad job since trading away Devers. Recognize that last few games in that series against the San Francisco Giants, tad bit less than savory, but and they still have a semblance of an interesting team, and I can't go through this thinking that the Boston Red Sox, as long as they have a ghost of a chance of making the playoffs, are just going to sit on their hands and say, oh, we're going to look at Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony, and we're just not going to buy at the trade deadline. I have to think that there's another move coming. I think that they wanted to free up money from a situation that they knew was going to be, well, burnt toast for them, and they knew that things had been completely fumbled, so I think that they made that move. They're going to reallocate those funds to bringing in someone within the next 5 or so weeks. And I firmly do believe that. Heck, if you look right now, the two teams that are tied for the final wild card spot, the Seattle Mariners and the Cleveland Guardians. And the Cleveland Guardians, after like the four spot in their lineup, have a whole bunch of guys hitting right around 200. Like, you have to think that they're going to be buying something at the trade deadline if they want to go for it. Now, with Cleveland, you never know about them, but I mean, even like a small bat could make a big difference for them. They were number one in terms of bullpen ERA last season. They have taken a little bit of setback, but I do sense them starting to find it a little bit more. The Blue Jays are currently your number two wildcard team. They just lost a series at home to the Chicago White Sox. So, and if you're a team like the LA Angels, who they actually bought at the deadline 2 years ago. Like, don't forget, they actually traded for Lucas Giolito. Now, it didn't pan out, but they traded for Lucas Giolito. They went for it. You have to think that there's a bunch of teams buying in. And I do think that that's going to make things really interesting moving forward for this month of June into July. And just whatever team is able to get hot. Perhaps you take a look at them in terms of a long shot ticket to be able to make the playoffs. Perhaps they can make a little bit of a run as well, because the Tigers have been that top team in the American League thus far this season, but it feels very wide open. Looking at you, the Rays, who I think have some value. I think that there's a lot of value in the NBA, and we've got a champion crowned. We're going to take a look at how the Thunder did it on the flip side on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.